Let us turn together in the Word of God to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 15. Beginning our reading this morning at verse 21. Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 21. Where the Bible says, "Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession.' Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, 'Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel.' The woman came and knelt before him. 'Lord, help me,' she said. He replied, 'It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs.' 'Yes, Lord,' she said, 'but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered, 'Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted.' And her daughter was healed from that very hour." There we in the reading of God's holy word. May he bless its proclamation and application in our lives. Dear people of God, called to be saints, we have before us this morning the account of a mother's amazing faith. Who can overestimate the worth of a reverent, God-fearing, born again, spiritually alive, faith-filled, joyful, hopeful, and praying mother? Now, exactly how many of these adjectives actually apply to the mother of which the Word of God speaks to us today, we of course can't be sure. But this much we know: she was a believer in the Messiah. She was a believer in the Christ of God. Somehow, this daughter of the accursed race of Canaan, doomed by God to destruction, you'll remember, but never entirely routed out of the promised land, now finds her way to God's only begotten Son, and there before Jesus pleads mercy for herself and her daughter. Living among a mixed population of Jews and Gentiles, she had evidently heard about the Hebrew hope of a coming Messiah, son of the great King David, who would preach to the poor and heal the sick, you see, and bind up the brokenhearted. And that's why she comes to Christ with her own poverty and her own sickness and her own broken heart to beseech the Savior in her own time of need. This mother begins by pleading prayers, by crying out. And what mother is there who hasn't at some time cried out to God from worry and from frustration, from pain and from sorrow and from fatigue and from the overwhelming feeling that all the responsibilities of motherhood just seem to be more than she can handle all by herself, more than she can bear? And here too, we find this mother crying out in desperation, crying out in what amounts to a prayer to the Son of the living God. Her pleading prayer is amazing. It is amazing as it begins with a profession that Jesus is the Christ. To put it in Hebrew, that Jesus is the Messiah. You see, the term "Lord, Son of David" was a very popular way among the Hebrews of referring to the promised one, to the Messiah that would come. And here in our text this morning, here we have this Canaanite woman professing what the majority in Israel would not. She's professing, in fact, what the majority in the world today will not: that Jesus is God's Son. That Jesus is the anointed one, that Jesus is sent to take away the sins of the world and be our Savior. She's professing this. Here she prays. Here she comes before the Messiah, now come in the flesh. And here she prays, setting her hopes upon Him in whom all mothers, indeed, in Him in whom all men must put their hope, and besides whom there is no hope at all. She quickly moves on to the purpose of her prayer. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me, she prays. She pleads. She pleads no merit of her own. She pleads no deserving, just mercy. She doesn't come before Jesus claiming to have earned anything so that Christ owes her anything. She knows who she is. And as we read this morning and we see her behavior, it is good for us to consider to ourselves, do we know who we are? Do we know who we are? She knows who she is. She is the condemned daughter of a condemned race unless she receives mercy at the hand of the Savior Himself. Do we know who we are? You say, well, I am a child of the covenant. Yes, you are. And covenant members are promised mercy. But did you know covenant members must come before the Savior too? And there plead the promises? And claim them for our own? She knows who she is. Do we realize who we are in our own need of mercy from God in Christ? There is also something else that is very significant and very moving in this phrase, have mercy on me. Something to be taken note of, perhaps you would say, especially on Mother's Day. She pleads in prayer almost as though she is the one suffering from demon possession, doesn't she? As though she is the one suffering herself. So closely does a good mother identify with the situation of her children, their colic, their fevers, their earaches, their sore throats, their broken bones, their wounded hearts, their wayward lives. What ails them ails her. What affects them affects her. What they are going through, she is going through. What the children suffer, the mother suffers. So this mother cries out from the desperation of one suffering from bondage to spiritual forces of tyranny and destruction, have mercy upon me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Now, what this was like in her daughter's case, we don't know. We're not given all the details here. But this mother had come to the conclusion that the situation was so bad that the demonic was behind it, and she made no effort to hide the fact from Jesus. She did not try to hide what was really going on from the Lord. Have we been honest with God about what's really going on in our life? Have we been honest with God lately about what we really think ails our children? Their apparent laziness and lack of motivation? Their lying and lack of integrity? Their abuse of substances or sexuality? Their selfishness and their lack of interest in spiritual things? What's really ailing them? These are not fruits of the Holy Spirit, but symptoms of oppression or out-and-out possession by demonic spirits. This mother's pleading describes the problem as she sees it. What else can we bring to Jesus? How else would we describe it to Him other than how we see it? Tell the Lord how you see it. Children bent on rebellion and self-destruction have an evil spirit that can only be driven from them by one, by the Almighty, by the Holy Spirit of the living God. As we are about to see, wonderful things happen when a mother believes. The second thing presented to us in our text this morning is the remarkable response of the Savior. How did Jesus respond to this, the pleading prayers of this mother? Well, not in the way that most of us would expect from a gentle, loving Savior. In fact, taken at face value, the words of Christ seem, dare I say it, cruel, uncaring, rude, and prejudicial. But at this point, we must not forget who Jesus is. We must not forget at this point the divine nature of Christ. Christ is God, and God looks not only on the outward appearance, but on the heart. Jesus could see that despite her distress and desperation, this was a woman of strong and resilient character and great faith. Like weightlifters will tell those spotting them, put some more on. Put on some more weights. Go ahead. And this is what Jesus does. The Lord here delights to exercise the faith of this woman to strengthen it. If she had been a timid and retreating individual, Christ likely would have responded to her in a much different way. For the Bible says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Isaiah 42, verse 3. We know this of God. In all this, God knows the end from the beginning, and God's purpose in election to eternal life will stand and is being pushed forward here. And so we watch and we listen as the divine purpose is worked out by the Savior himself. The Bible records the events as they unfold. As they do, Jesus appears, notice, to ignore her, to exclude her, and to insult her. That's how modern readers perceive the interchange as it takes place. As she cries out, pleading in prayer after him in a loud voice, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus actually appears to ignore her. In fact, the Bible says he didn't answer her a word, but he heard her. And how often, brothers and sisters, don't you and I feel as though God is ignoring us too? It may seem for a long while that our Savior answers us not a word. We pray for our children too. We pray for healing. We pray for softening of hearts and turning from rebellion. We pray for regeneration by the Holy Spirit. We pray for liberation from the tyranny of the devil, as we read of it in Lord's Day 1. And for a long time, it may seem as though we're getting the very same treatment, the very same response, no lack of response, as this mother got here. Jesus did not answer her a word. Be assured of this, this morning, this Mother's Day, beloved, Christ knew, Christ knows what he is doing. And why didn't he answer her? Isn't it in order that she might be more earnest in her prayers? That she might pray all the more, be more persistent in her requests, be patient more in waiting on God's timing, be more passionate in her longing. In the meantime, Christ hears her, and Christ hears you. In the meantime, Christ is pleased with her and with you. And in the meantime, Christ himself, God himself must have strengthened her in her inner being, or else she would have given up soon after she began. So the psalmist sings of it, you, O God, made me bold and stout-hearted. Psalm 138, verse 3. You see how God works in this instance by seeming to draw away. God is really drawing her on. And so God works with all those he desires to seek him more earnestly in all of life. So Christ deals with this mother and with you and with me. Jesus was not responding to this mother, but by the grace of God, this mother was not giving up. She kept crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." And her pleading was so passionate, and it was in its own way so pathetic, that is, it contained so much pathos, the disciples couldn't stand it anymore. Either help this woman or tell her to leave. The scene was getting so sensational, they couldn't take it. So the Bible says his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." Now Jesus appears to exclude her. For to their surprise and ours, Christ answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." Indeed, this was the God-appointed order of things. Jesus speaks the truth here. The Jew first and then the Greek. The Jew first and then the Gentile. First, Christ came to those who are his own, the covenant race of the circumcision, that God's promise to the patriarchs might be fulfilled. Romans 15:8 tells us so. But part of God's promise to the patriarchs was that all nations should be blessed through Jesus, as the Bible says in Romans 15, verse 9, so that the Gentiles may glory God for his mercy. And in Deuteronomy 32, verse 43, already, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again in Isaiah we read, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him." Isaiah 11 verse 10. And isn't this exactly what this woman is doing? She's a Gentile and she's hoping in him. And Jesus is saying, "I didn't come for her first of all." Why is Christ so cold in his treatment of this mother? Why does he seem to be excluding her outright? Again, things are not as they appear at first. You see, Christ mentions her ethnic, her religious, and her cultural exclusion from Israel to highlight and emphasize and bring to the forefront the greater importance of her spiritual inclusion with the sons and daughters of Abraham, true son, true daughter. In spite of all the other outward exclusions, spiritual inclusion trumps all. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? And so we see, as Christ initially seems to exclude her, it is so that she may be more fully included, more fully enfolded, more fully embraced as his very own in the end. All other things peeled away. Only Jesus himself. Some of you may have wondered, do I really belong to Christ? Jesus all but told her she didn't. She was not deterred. The Bible says she came in spite of Jesus' words and knelt before him saying, "Lord, help me." No more references to Son of David. No more Lord, Son of David. None of this King of Israel stuff. She was not a daughter of David. She leave David out of it. She just pleaded with Jesus now to help her as a creature, a creation fashioned by his own hand, as a person made in his own image, as a human being, as a mother desperate for help. "God, help me." When is the last time you just prayed that? No more pretense. No more, you know, "I'm Dutch." No more, "I'm Reformed." No more all this other stuff. It's just, "God, just help me. I just need your help." There's glory in it. There's glory in it, isn't there? "God, help me." Excluded from the nation of the Jews, but not from the family of humankind. By the grace of God, this mother exercised her faith as though in her heart of hearts she knew that she was talking to the one who promises, "He who comes to me, I will never drive away." John 6, verse 37. It's as though somehow she knew it. He will welcome me. He will give me what I seek. Beloved, if this mother who had neither membership in God's covenant nor a concrete understanding of God's gospel could exercise such faith, how much more you mothers here this morning, today, who have both membership in the covenant and a knowledge of the full gospel. How much more you men have known Christ all your life and have publicly professed Him, but now you're struggling. How much more you children who were baptized and brought up in the Christian faith. Oh, how we should exercise that faith and cling to Christ. Don't give up so easily, brothers and sisters, for you have the promise, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. So this mother continued to press her claim. As this mother courageously comes up to Jesus, Jesus coolly puts her down. In fact, Jesus appears to insult her next, in that he compares her to a dog as he replies, "Well, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." It's not right to give good food to dogs. Some people's dogs are all too handy under the table, and the kids don't like what's on the table, and they can... We call it the Friends of Rusty Club. And they always have very clean plates, but the question is, who cleaned it? Jesus compares her to a dog. But the faith of this woman is so great that instead of becoming discouraged by this apparent put-down, call it an insult if you like, it is here, it is precisely here that she says, "Yes. This is where I am. This makes me included." It is here she finds her own place. Why, yes. By calling me a dog, he virtually gives me everything I've asked for. "For even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table," she says back at Jesus. Can you imagine the look on Jesus' face? Well, you say you do a little theologizing now, and you say, well, it can't be surprise, this look on Jesus' face, because, of course, Christ knows everything, and Christ knew her heart, as the New Testament says over and over again. But it can be the look of amazed satisfaction at such an expression of faith that an unschooled Gentile should exercise so great a faith. When she came back with this amazing expression of faith, talk about quick comebacks. This mother didn't miss a beat. She was on her toes. She was on her toes in humility. In desperate circumstances, humility made her happy for the crumbs. The more you and I realize that we deserve no good thing from God's hand, the more we will be thankful for the many innumerable good things which God has in fact given us. In her humility, she is not offended. She is not put off. She is not angry. She is not despondent or despairing. Rather, her humility makes her resolute, determined, quick-witted, even audacious. You could say, bold in obtaining what she has set her heart upon, all because she's humble enough to look to Christ. She knows Jesus is the only one who can supply her need, and whatever it takes, she's going to look to Him. Are you humble like her today, mothers, fathers, young adults, teens, boys and girls? God's grace informs us who we are. God's grace assures us of who Christ is. And by God's grace, we are numbered among the meek, like this mother who will inherit the earth, along with a multitude of other mothers like her, and all men who look to the only begotten Son of God for their portion in this life and in the life to come. You see what wonderful things happen when a mother believes. Finally, the extensive effects of persistent faith. In order to exercise this mother's faith, Christ puts up three hurdles: ignore, exclude, insult, each one higher than the last. And with the help of God, this woman, this mother, sailed over all three hurdles with flying colors, to the point where Jesus himself marvels at this mother's performance. And the Bible says, then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Let's just look at these things Jesus said to her very briefly. "Woman, you have great faith." Beloved, there's no greater blessing in all of life than to hear the "well done" of God. "Well done. You exercise the gift of faith I gave you. Well done." Mothers, as you live by faith, may all of you sense this commendation of God. "Woman, you may have many problems, but woman, you have great faith." Confident of the fact that to those who have much, even more will be given. "Well done, good and faithful servant." Our Bibles tell us the desire of her heart was granted. Your request was granted. Believers with great faith may have what they will for the asking, not in their own time, but in God's timing and in God's way. They will have what they ask, for when your will conforms to the will of Christ, then Christ agrees to grant what your will desires. But have you submitted to your will, to Christ's will? That's the process of living. Have you submitted your will to Christ? God honors all those who do. Demons are cast out, we are told. What the disciples find themselves powerless to do the very first time Jesus sends them out on their own, this mother moved Christ to do as she sought the Lord on behalf of her daughter. The demonic powers that drove her daughter to derelict destruction are sent packing, never to return. Her daughter is healed, as the Bible tells us. Her daughter was healed from that very hour. What an encouragement this should be to every mother today. God does hear, and God does answer prayer. You may be at your wit's end with a child, with one of your teens, with a young adult in your family, knowing in your heart there's nothing more that you can do, but there's plenty that Christ can do for them. You may be helpless to make anything constructive from your own daughter's life, but Christ can make something out of her yet. Jesus' disciples are taught a lesson. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. John 1:11 and 12. Well, the disciples may have felt themselves in the privileged inner circle as this woman is calling after. But who's at the center of the circle now? They must have felt themselves midgets in their faith compared to her. So like the great patriarch Jacob, this Gentile mother had wrestled with God and prevailed. What godly envy and admiration must have filled the hearts of the disciples, and as they witnessed her receive what she sought with tears. So may it be with all of us today, beloved. Know this: wonderful things happen when a mother believes, when a man believes, when a young adult believes, when a child believes, and wonderful things happen when you believe too. You'll see. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, what remarkable things are recorded in your word. We praise you as sovereign God, as King of hearts, as the one who deals with each of us just as we must be dealt with, and does so for the saving of our souls. Lord, teach us how to plead nothing but mercy. Teach us, Lord, the amazing enabling of your grace. Help us to exercise our faith and give us joy in receiving the answer eventually to all that we have sought in faith rightly of Christ. Lord, our hearts are lifted up in Him this day. Lord, help us in our life of faith to be interactive with the Savior and not so easily put off or discouraged, we pray. Give us triumph in Christ as was given to this mother. In Jesus' name, amen.